Welcome to Sci-Fi in Color, the podcast about science fiction TV featuring actors, directors, and writers of color. My name is Maggie.
And I'm Melissa. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at sfincolor@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Tumblr, and Twitter as SF in Color.
And today we are back into the Badlands. It's been so long, but we're doing...
It has been a ridiculously long time.
Yes. It's season 2, episode 7, Black Heart, White Mountain.
So, Black Heart, White Mountain. So, do we want to
make wild, crazy, unsubstantiated guesses about what this could possibly mean? Black Heart, White Mountain. Didn't they already do the black something, white something theme? I feel like they used this title scheme before.
I don't know.
I am so sure there was another episode title where it was like black something, white something.
Or was it the one with moons? And it was like red moon.
Oh, yeah, like the color thing. Like, let's make it all, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, mysterious contrast and stuff. Wait, this episode was directed by Stephen Fong? Is that who I think it is? Let me check. Sorry, I just opened up the Internet Movie Database thing. Let's see. Stephen Fong is... Well, he is, like, he is a, like, foreign director, but I don't think he has anything that's well-known in the States.
Well, how do you know him?
No, I'm saying, like, I don't... I wasn't sure. I thought he was someone else. There's also another famous Stephen... I think his name is Stephen Chow, but he does, like, comedies and stuff. But same thing. He does, like, similar insofar as he does, like, that Chinese martial arts stuff, like, he does that in his movies. I thought it was Stephen Chow. I got really like excited for a second. I was like, wait, no, that doesn't make sense. Because I don't think he would do something as dark as Badlands. Like, he does comedy stuff. Anyway, yeah. So the director is POC, yay. And we have our usual POC leads, Daniel Wu as Sunny. I never know how to pronounce his first name. Aramis Knight as MK. We got a lot of Vale in this episode. I totally misspelled her name in my notes, but it doesn't matter. The Master's in this one. And, yeah. So, okay, Black Heart, White Mountain. Want to make stupid guesses about what that means? As if it means anything?
I would think the Black Heart would refer to, like, the disease or the Hand of Five Poisons that Sunny was inflicted with.
Yeah, I think that makes logical sense. I mean, that seemed to be more of like a chi blocking thing.
Yeah.
I think that's what they were going for. And though when I said Hand of Five Poisons, I was like, oh snap.
Yeah, they brought it back. I was like, whoa,
logic.
I did not expect that level of continuity.
I mean, this is season 2. They've upped their game, Melissa.
Oh, yeah. They definitely have.
No, I feel like they really have improved this season, though.
No, I wasn't being sarcastic. Well, a little bit. But
a little bit.
No, it's genuinely better.
Yeah, they genuinely are trying to, like, connect themes. And I think the writing has improved a lot, too.
Yeah, definitely.
Wait, let me look up... Let me see if I can find a list of, episode names. Alright, so I see in season 1 there was White Stork Spreads Wings. Hand of Five Poisons was the title of last season's finale episode. Which is why I was like, oh snap!
Because when we watched we had no idea what it meant.
Was what we were talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, we had no idea what it really meant.
Right, we were just like, what does that mean? And then we finally get an answer in this episode. Like, oh my gosh, they actually
didn't see that coming.
Stuff. Okay, so Black Heart, White Mountain, we talked about Hand of Five Poisons, which seems to be that, like, kind of, maybe chi-blocking or, you know, deadly kind of fighting technique
that I guess
slowly stops vital organs in the body from functioning.
Whatever. Magic, mystic, voodoo.
Magic, whatever. And then White Mountain, I mean, I guess there was the mountain with the waterfall.
That's kind white, of what though. I thought, but...
I don't think it was white, but whatever, let's just go with it. Because
maybe
don't really...
we'll find 10 seasons from now, we'll find the true meaning.
Nah, I don't really think this would or should be 10 seasons long, to be honest. That's just a lot of pain and suffering, honestly.
It really
I want better though, for these characters.
I genuinely think that the first four seasons are going to be extremely painful, and then it's going to transition into, like, a rom-com, like, Sunny as the lead.
No, you don't.
And it's just going to be a situational comedy.
Also, I just have to say for myself, I maybe this is an unpopular opinion, because I think I saw some reviews over on this episode, and I think they kind of thought it was, like, a middling, mediocre episode, which I can kind of get. But I like this episode, but I really like those weird, like, that I really liked Sunny's weird fantasy of, like, a domestic farmhouse fam. Like, I don't know, except for the creepy horror parts, like, I was like, oh, Sunny, you sweet child. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, it was also, I mean, yes, there was a lot of horror elements in this one, but, you know, aside from the horror parts, I was like, oh, this is, like, a really nice fantasy. You know, minus the fact that your son is gonna turn into you or whatever and be a killer. But, you know, like...
Yeah, except for that. And the weird girl from The Ring.
right.
But it was, like, his son was really cute.
Yeah.
And it was nice seeing him happy. And it was really nice seeing him and Vale on the same, like, scene together.
I was like, this is... The viewers want something kind of like this. A little bit.
Yeah.
You know?
I really liked that part of it. I would agree. I didn't read any reviews, but I would agree that this episode isn't that great.
I mean, it's no masterpiece, but I did really like the weird fantasy dream parts, you know? So I think the first thing I wrote down was shirtless scene, shirtless scene, shirtless scene.
I know, right?
Because it's been a while since we've seen Sunny shirtless, and I always appreciate Danny Wu taking off his shirt. And also, it was just nice to see him, you know, not being attacked, like, every second of the day.
So no, this was more of a thriller, so it was built up, too.
Yeah, but he didn't, that's true, he did kind of have to fight off the weird, I wouldn't say zombies, but, you know, he had to fight off the figments of imagination of people who he's killed in the past, but it wasn't, like, Sunny wasn't really in, like, a traditional fight scene in this episode.
Yeah.
Which is, like, kind of nice to have a breather, because I feel like he's constantly fighting people, and it's like, maybe give the man some space.
You took that in a different place than I had anticipated.
Oh.
I thought you were going to say that it was really nice to see him without the tattoos and, like, see him as, like, a freer, more youthful Sunny.
I also liked to see... I mean, I liked... Like, I know it's fantasy. I know the show is just, you know, dark and depressing and no one can ever be happy. But, like, it was nice It was nice to see him think about what it could mean or what it means to him to be happy and have a family. Because, like... That's the first part, right? It's like, I have everything I could ever want. I have my beautiful wife and a lovely, you know, healthy young son. And we're just living by ourselves, off the land, in the woods. It's super chill. Like, it was cute, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's nice to see that he was like, you know, like, he's kind of, in this fantasy, he's kind of moved on from his past that's been haunting him this entire time. And... You know, he is freer.
Yeah, though, in a way, this fantasy was imagining a world that could never exist.
Right, because you're
It's not like the tattoos were gone. It was that they never existed.
Oh, is that... Did they show... Oh, wait. You're right that they didn't. That they showed his back and there was nothing on his back.
Yeah.
I, like, totally don't know why I didn't pick up on that. Maybe because it's... I haven't seen the show in a while. I totally forgot that, but thank you for pointing that out. Sorry.
I
didn't notice that until you mentioned it twice. Thanks.
Yeah, it was nice seeing, I guess, what could have been, but
yeah,
it's also sad, you know?
It is sad. Because, you know, he has that, like, fatherly instinct or whatever in him, because he kind of acts like that with MK to a degree. So
yep. To a degree.
Remind me, because it's been such a long time. Do you remember what's going on with Vale and Henry? Are they back in Quinn's clutches? They are, right?
Previously on Into the Badlands.
We didn't get a previously on this time.
I know. You know, sad. I was watching it And I actually watched it during my lunch break at work. Mm-hmm. And I found, or I saw the episode, and I couldn't remember which episode we were on. And I started this one, and I started the right one, luckily. But there was, like, the first 5 minutes of the episode, I was like, is this the right episode? Should I know why this is going on? But
oh, I remember where we, I remember, once we started off with him, you know, lying on the ground and, like, he's, like, kind of sort of dying, I remembered where we were. Because, like, the last episode before this was pretty, like, that fight in the weird 50s-esque Christmas hotel was pretty memorable to me. So I, I knew that was memorable. But I forgot what, I couldn't remember what was going on with Vale because she didn't
show up. So Vale escaped into the widow's clutches, mm-hmm. and then the widow sold her out to Quinn.
Right, right, right. Okay. Because I was like, I know, I'm pretty sure Vale was recaptured, but I couldn't remember if anything else had happened in between that time.
Yeah. Right, it was, I mean, we'll get to Quinn and that, the other side plot over there, but that was something.
Yeah. You mean the plot with Quinn this episode or last episode?
Yeah. No, in this episode. Because there were essentially two storylines.
Right.
There was Save Sunny and Quinn's on the, you know, on the crazy side.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Tumor is no killing longer affecting rebound. Magically. So magically, the tumor is no longer there. Just for this episode.
Tuma.
Anyway.
How many times can I make that joke? A lot, apparently.
Get the joke, but okay.
Actually for the best.
Sorry?
I said that's for the best.
Yeah. So when Sunny was the first time we got that dream sequence, I wasn't really sure if it was a dream or not. But then once I saw that, quote unquote, Henry was in the room and he was like, I don't know, 9 or 10 or whatever, I was like, oh yeah, this is totally a fantasy. Like, because unless Sunny's been sleeping for,
he's been in
10
a coma.
Years and someone's been shaving his head the entire time, like, this is not happening.
Of course, you go to the hair.
Well, yes, I was going to the hair. Anyway,
that didn't even cross my mind.
And when you have that weird little, whatever, horror, you know, woman in the girl in the woods popping up and then disappearing thing going on, I was like, well, they really are raising the WTF quotient a lot in this episode. How awful. Not only is he dying, he's, like, having a fantasy where he's being haunted by some, like, demon girl. Like, great. This is a great way to die, you know? Like, poor Sunny.
Yeah.
He's been through a lot. Like, really?
I mean, the show exists to torture him. Let's be real
essentially,
here.
Essentially, yes.
That's what this entire show has been about. And I guess, you know, like, yes, he's gaining back his
Sunny
humanity
to,
and whatever, but...
Sorry?
No, I mean, yes, he's gaining back his humanity and whatever, and love, but it's him just suffering.
I know it's a very fraught journey, but, like, I just want Sunny to be happy, man. Like...
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a killer who did horrible things, but, like...
We've already forgiven you, bro.
We've already forgiven him. The show hasn't.
I know, right?
Poor Sunny.
Poor Sunny. It was so nice to see him interact with MK again, though.
Yeah,
they're so cute.
I was like, they're back together. Oh, and because, like, I really did miss that dynamic, that father-son, you know, dynamic going on between MK and Sunny.
Yeah.
I wrote down, in this episode, Sunny being the father-like figure to at least MK in real life, the father cannot die. So I was like, not kill the father this time, please.
It was interesting. I guess now that I'm thinking back over it, from a character perspective, it really makes sense that this is the direction that the show went in. Because
mm-hmm.
we knew Badgy and Sunny. We knew Sunny and MK. But we didn't have any basis for what MK and Badgie would be like.
Right.
And so they basically took Sunny out of commission so they would be forced together.
I think it worked well. And I like that kind of, that the writers are keeping the audience on their toes in regards to, like, how do we feel about Badgie? Because, like, he's kind of good, but he's also kind of shifty. So, yeah. Like, that's nice because, like, I think the audience is pretty firm about where we stand on most characters, but since Badgie's new, we're not really too sure what to make of him. So mm-hmm. it's more interesting to keep us kind of guessing.
Yeah.
Versus the older established characters, we know who they are. Well, we know who Quinn is. We know, like, who they all are.
Well, yeah, none of the other characters are really ambiguous like Badgie is.
Yeah.
Because he has been known to both help and hurt. Very much not help.
Yeah. Because, you know, I'm just thinking, well, okay, clearly he wants to go to Azra too, and he doesn't want to bring, or doesn't want to let MK know. I don't know what's, like, what is the purpose in hiding the compass from MK? Is he just, like, because I would imagine that he's doing that because he doesn't want MK and Sunny to join him, or he wants to go by himself, or, I don't know, so there has to be a reason.
Yeah, it might not be a complicated reason. It might just be, you know, he looks out for number one.
Sure.
Number one.
Him.
And,
yeah,
you know, introducing more people into his scheming, it makes it more complicated and more dangerous.
Yeah. Which, I mean, he said that. He's like, every time I try to help or I get involved with other people, it just kind of goes sideways. So I can understand that. Sure.
Yeah. But it was a good moment that he decided to help Sunny. Like, obviously he was going to. Like, that wasn't... it was never a doubt in my mind that he was going to help MK save Sunny. But it was still a really nice validation of some character development, I think.
Yeah. I mean, Badgie's a lot of things, but I wouldn't call him heartless.
Yeah.
Because he will... When pushed enough, it seems like he will do the right thing.
Yeah, he bends really to peer pressure.
Him, what? Well,
he bends to peer pressure.
Because obviously he could have walked away from MK at any time. He just kind of was like, okay, like, he's your father figure / friend, I guess, fine.
Well, MK shot him, like, the big eyes, and he's like... Please.
Oh yeah.
It's like,
also,
it's like when a little kid looks at you. Can I have some candy? Like, okay, MK, you can have your father back.
Fine, MK. Let's see. What did I say? Oh yeah, I said when MK was kind of confronting Badgie about kind of just like the way he acts and stuff, I was like, MK with the hard hitting truths. Like, he was really going in. He's like, yeah. I'm gonna destroy you. Like. Verbally.
MK,
sorry.
In a lot of ways, I feel like that was out of character for MK.
Really?
I think he was too knowledgeable about Badgie.
True, I mean, just met him.
I understand why they did it this way, and I'm not really complaining, because we, the audience, know all those things about Badgie. So we like having MK call him out on them.
Even though he logically should not know any of this.
And we don't know him to be a good judge of character. Like, he's
That's
not
true.
Known for being, like, the brightest bulb on the Christmas tree.
Yeah. Maybe they taught psychology in Abbott School.
Maybe that's all he learned, because it doesn't seem like he learned anything else.
Well, wasn't he supposed to learn to be a better fighter? I mean, I guess that kind of worked a little bit.
A little, I guess. I mean, he was supposed to learn how to control his gift, and now he just doesn't have it.
I mean, he still, I think, it has improved as a fighter.
Yeah, he has,
like,
improved,
compare him
I think.
Now to, like, him in episode one of season one, where he's like, OMG, what is this Hunger Games-ish I'm seeing in front of my very eyes? Like, completely different, you know?
Yeah.
So I think he's improved as a fighter, at least.
I love how grown up he looks now.
Yeah. It's cool. I don't know how I feel about, like, the hipster braided hair thing he's got going on, but, like...
You know that I love it.
OMK. I love that insane, like, Mad Maxian car that they just pile into. Like,
yes.
What is up with that car? Also, I have to note how well-maintained those roads are. Like, I thought this was the apocalypse. How come these roads look like they were paved yesterday?
I thought this was the apocalypse.
No, like... I don't know, like, is there some kind of secret, you know, interstate highway road crew or something? Like, what's going on there?
Maybe.
I mean, maybe Kyle just had access to asphalt. I really don't know. But literally, that road looked like it was paved yesterday. I was like,
Yeah. I think it was in our last Badlands episode or the episode before that, but we were talking about, like, where all the gas is coming from and, like, how, like, the cars, like, look so much better than you would expect.
Yeah.
I feel, I just kind of chalked that up to the same thing, where it's either a grand conspiracy, or, more likely, it's for the aesthetic.
Yeah, I mean, at least in Mad Max, I don't know too much about Mad Max, I've only seen the one recent film, but, like, in the world of Mad Max, I think I remember there being, like, that makes logical sense in that universe, because, like, they literally have a bullet farm and a gas town. Like, they literally have towns for the sole manufacturing of a certain good. Whereas, I don't know where this is coming from in the Badlands world.
No, but I mean, I remember the last season we were complaining about the Badlands economy, too. Or at least I was.
Well, yeah, we talked about how is it possible for the fort or Quinn's little feudal whatever to be supported by opium mainly. Like, that doesn't make sense either. Like, what is a drug trade? Also, what happened with the drug trade? That literally was a thing and never came back.
True that.
Drugs have never been mentioned since, like, episode 3.
Yeah.
Well, I guess all the junkies are, I don't know, going through withdrawal
dead.
Now? I don't really know what's
going on.
Yeah, it feels like so much stuff in this universe gets mentioned and then just dropped. Like, okay, dolls were kind of important, and then, technically there still are characters who are dolls or were dolls who are kind of maybe important, but, like, that was a whole world that existed, and I don't know what happened to the town. Like, what's up with the town? Is it just gone? Is it just gone now that, like, the whole empire or whatever is falling apart? Like, I have no idea what's happening with, like, certain... Like, I really am curious what happened with that town that Vale was living in that had, like, the tattoo friend guy who was there for, like, two sec... Like, you know, there's, like, parts of this universe that, like, once you've moved on, like, we never see it again. It's not important. World building? What is that? Like,
well, they get really excited with their world building, and they touch on so many issues, which they just don't... They'll never have time to expand.
Right.
And so, like, it adds a nice flavor, but the consistency, like, the implications of all the things that they add sometimes don't quite add up.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, like, it'd be nice to, like, go back to something, but I feel like the show rarely does that. We rarely go back.
Only forward.
Ever onwards, right? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. When Badgie starts talking about that girl that he had a connection with, Flea, I was like, is Flea the widow?
Okay.
I can't be the only person who thought that, right? Like,
no, I had the same thought. I ran through, like, all of the possibilities in my head of the people it could be, because it felt like the widow didn't really match up with, like, the timeline right.
I don't know how old Badgie is supposed to be.
I don't know how old it is. And then I was starting to think about it, and I was like, I feel like it has to be the widow.
Because there's only... It has to be her, I think, because she's the only other person in show so far that's mentioned previously being a Dark One or a person with this power and losing the power. So, like, she fits that, and I can't think of anyone else who does.
Right. There aren't a lot of possibilities.
That we know of, anyway. And, and knowing how storytelling works, it would be odd to just spring that on us randomly, so...
Yeah. I had the same thought that it pretty much has to be the widow.
Right.
I mean, I guess that just means that the widow is younger than Badgie.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if I buy.
Yeah.
But... I'll give it to you.
Or maybe, I guess, and this would be a little bit odd, but maybe it's... I don't really know if this works. I'm going to float it, but I don't think it's... I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, the widow knows the person who was Flea or is Flea. I don't know. I don't really...
And she's, like, a butterfly or something?
Nah. I mean, the more I think about that, the less that works, because I think we would have seen her by now. I don't think it's...
Yeah, no. The only person who I think it really could be would be the Widow.
Yeah. So, that's interesting if they ever meet, which I'm sure will happen.
I'm sure they will. Flea's a great name.
So, I also said, you know, when Jade's servant, like, just, like, takes the jewels and, like, what does she do? Slaps her and then kicks her? Is it bad that I laughed?
No.
I kind of laughed just a little because I was like, yeah, she's getting her, getting her gold and her and riches, and she's getting out of there, yo. Like, bye.
Me in the Badlands.
I mean, if I was stuck in the Badlands, I would be doing that same thing. So, yep.
Yeah. See ya. Do you want to head over to Jade?
Sure. I was kind of going chronologically. I've been skipping the Sunny fantasy scenes, but let's talk about Jade.
Because, yeah, there were basically three main pieces. Sunny in his horror movie. Badgie and MK trying to save Sunny and from his horror movie.
Jade. Well, it's mainly Jade.
You know, Jade with starring in Failure.
Widow. Did you say starring in Failure?
Yes.
That could be a good title. yeah, so Jade, she is taking a bath, just chilling out. I think they reused the same bathtub as the one that MK was in when the Widow just like randomly showed up, because I was like, why is
there's only one bathtub in the Badlands?
I mean, could be, right? I guess because I was thinking, oh, this bathtub is so familiar, and then I just thought right now, oh, that's probably the same one.
That probably MK, is the same, yeah.
Like, they just reused it because it's like the Widow's bathtub, but they just reused it for this shot. Anyway, so she's taking a bath, and she's like, what, there's something going on outside, what's happening?
Yeah.
And then, oh, looks like, Viva la Revolution, and, guess she needs to get out of there before, man, we don't even get his name, Petri dish number 3, you know, what's the word, shurikened in the head?
Yep.
As one does in the Badlands. So, she tries to make her escape, but she's too late. He gets cornered by the Widow and Tilda, and then later Quinn, because they have their weird alliance now, which is, like, it's so weird, like, how allegiances and power shifts in the Badlands. It's so fluid and ever-changing. So,
yeah, when I was first watching this, it was... For a moment, well, not even for a moment, for a few minutes, I was thinking that this was actually a dream sequence.
The thing with Jade?
Yeah, because it felt very dreamlike, and when they began, you know, the outside forces of the Widow began attacking, we didn't really have any context. We didn't really know how this came to be. We knew that she had sided with the Quinn.
Sorry.
No, we know that the Widow had sided with Quinn, and so I guess it's intuitive that eventually they would go after
Jade,
but we didn't really see the planning behind it, and I feel like we often see that in this show. We often know when there's going to be an attack because we see both sides.
Plotting.
You know, yeah, exactly. And it kind of reminded me of, like, Inception, where it's, like, a dream, you don't know how a dream starts.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, and like, but the farther we moved in, though, I was like, this isn't exactly a dream, is it?
Well, I feel like Badlands, at least with the Sunny fantasy scenes, it was pretty obvious that that was a fantasy because the colors were a lot more, like, sepia brown tone.
Yeah, the colors were definitely different.
They made it pretty obvious that that was a dream sequence.
But they also didn't need to.
They didn't need to make a sepia tone, you mean?
Yeah, because, like...
Oh, because
it was clearly not happening.
What? Well, yeah, like, later we switch back to MK and Badgie fretting over him, sure. But, like, I feel like when they have a dream sequence, they're going to make it obvious like that. Like, having, like, a different color thing. So that's why I didn't think it was a dream, because usually it's a little bit more clear with
something. Yeah, some shows will do that.
What?
Some shows do that, though. Yeah. Where it's like, oh my god, I can't believe that. Oh, it was just a dream. I don't think Badlands has, so.
There haven't been too many flash Well, there've been quite a few flashbacks, but there haven't been many. There haven't been too many dream sequences.
Oh, there was a dream.
Well, no. Even when they have flashbacks, they do something that's a little bit different visually. Like, you know, like that very first episode of the very first season when Quinn's, I guess, reminiscing about young Sunny, and we see a weird flash of a kid who looks definitely like Sunny, but like visually, that shot looks a little bit different than the present day shot. So I think they've done this.
Well, what about I don't remember which episode it was, but it was in season one, and Sunny and MK are fighting, and then MK, like, throws Sunny off of, like, the tall thing they're fighting on, and it's just a dream.
Oh, right! Yeah. They didn't make it clear that that was a dream, or
whatever. Oh, snap!
Yeah, you're right. That was weird. That was really odd.
Yeah. Maybe they should have made it. So that was opening the show, I believe, so...
Sorry?
I believe that was, like, the opening to the show, so that is a little bit like opening on a dream.
Yeah, versus this one, I mean, it does open. It kind of opens with it, right? Because we see him on the floor of the hotel or whatever, and then, or lodge, and then later it kind of does a weird... Well, the thing that made it more clear that it was a dream, because it does a shift. It shifts right from the hotel to the fantasy house, so, like... Again, I thought it was fairly clear that was a dream. But again, I also think the show is just getting better at doing these kinds of things, so
yeah.
I can't really speak to the consistency.
Yeah, the show is getting better. I kept hoping, let's put it that way, I kept hoping that the Jade sequence was a dream, because it was felt very disappointing.
But I feel like it was, like, logically that's what would happen. Like, what else do you think was going to happen to Jade?
Well... I thought she would put up slightly more of a fight.
Yeah, I mean, I give her props for trying to fight back against the Widow. Because I had that same thought. Like, you know when the Widow was like, oh, maybe your rise to power is a little bit too fast? I kind of thought the same thing. Because I'm like, girl, if you're going to be a baron or a baroness, like, you have to have some kind of fighting chops, which you don't currently have. So, like, what's up with that, lady? Like, get some training or something.
Yes. But her skills were never on the battlefield. They were mostly in manipulation.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, like, in the world of balance, but mainly in the show, the TV show that we are watching, you need to have fighting chops, because you're going to get chopped if you don't have fighting chops.
Well, like, the way that I always saw it was that she could just have people fight for her. Like, you know, have lots of guards. Right. But it was weird because...
But the security sucks, so...
Well, in this sequence... Almost everyone abandoned her.
Yeah.
Which didn't really feel prompted, because it felt like she was pretty
well-liked. Yeah, didn't they make it super important in the previous episode? She had the oath thing, and she, like, sort of stabbed herself with a sword ceremoniously. And,
yeah.
Like, there was a whole thing about how they were going to be loyal to her, and then, like, well, guess not.
I mean, I guess some of the Clippers were loyal, but yeah, you're right. It felt... kind of out of nowhere.
Also, you would think that, given what Quinn said about, oh, you know, they're gonna talk about you being the cog who rose up to the top, like, you would think that she would have a little more loyalty than Quinn, because didn't everyone defect from Quinn's? Like, I don't understand. I don't know if it really matters, but part of me wishes we knew a little bit more about how the cogs felt in general, because I have no sense of where their allegiances are.
That's very true.
And it's kind of confusing, because, I mean, I guess, like, because of that, the wearers can kind of do whatever they want, but that kind of is annoying to me, because I would kind of want to know where their opinions lie. I can't tell if they like Quinn more than Jade. I mean, Quinn also is a cog who rose to the top, but, I mean, it seemed like he was more of a jerk, so, like, I don't know.
Okay. So imagine this. We're watching a historical TV show. And we're watching the kings and the queens and the court.
Yeah.
And that is how a lot of people study history. You don't look at the everyman. You don't look at that. Because they don't feel quite as important.
Yeah.
Even though they have...
Important.
They're very important, and they have starring roles when it gets bad enough.
Right.
It feels like this show could have benefited from an everyman plot.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that was the story that they're looking to tell.
Yeah.
And yeah, of course it's convenient for the cogs to do whatever the heck the writers want.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I find it frustrating because then they can't...
Yeah.
I don't know if it makes sense that everyone abandoned Jade.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, Jade, that's the only part. Like, I'm not saying I need an
Jade seemed like
at a cog's life. I just need to know, does it make sense that they all abandoned her?
Well, no, but, like, if we had, like, one recurring cog character.
Right.
I feel like that would give us some kind of consistency. Because then you wouldn't just see, like, one off, like, one person being like, heck yeah, let's get out of here.
Yeah.
It would be, like, a progression.
Yeah.
But, yeah. It's just not the direction that the show has been interested in.
Right. And I get it. I don't think it needs to go in that direction. I just need something. Because right now I'm just like, I don't know if it makes sense if they all just, like, jumped ship. Like, eh.
Yeah. They could have jumped ship to the Widow, who is, I guess, is more popular.
Some of them did earlier in the season.
Right.
Or last season. So, like,
mm-hmm.
People are... Like, the cogs are shown to be, they, like, defect left and right. There's seemingly no rhyme or reason or pattern to who defects and why. So,
I mean, you can probably make an argument that people are worried that Jade isn't strong enough to defeat the Widow, so they go with the Widow.
Argument, but that's not an argument.
But they didn't make that argument. Right. Yeah, like, exactly.
If there was some passing comment by a Clipper or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, like a quick shot of one of the Clippers being like, I don't know if Jade is, like, you know, fit to... Like, something.
Yeah, exactly.
Something. I don't know.
But everything we've seen of her has been extremely competent, so it doesn't feel right.
Mm, yeah, that's true. Hmm. Anyway, that's just my two cents.
No, I think we're in agreement. But, yeah, Jade gets captured and... Everything goes to crap.
Yeah, I don't know if I have any more notes particularly about the Widow or Jade or Quinn. I mean, it's just same old stuff they always complain and argue about. And, like, we don't learn anything new about Quinn or Jade. Like, okay, cool.
They just redo it. They do a lot of rehash.
Like, obviously, he does not care. So,
yeah.
It didn't really... The extra scenes with Jade didn't really do much for me.
I think it was interesting, the result. The fact that Jade isn't going to be killed, right?
I just think this is classic use reverse psychology on Quinn. If you say kill me, he's not going to kill you. Unless he really, really wants to kill you, then maybe he'll do it. But, like, I don't know. I feel like Quinn is like, I don't know. Quinn is frustrating. Because he's like, I guess he's like a strong character who is very capable of doing very deadly things. But, like, I feel like he's easily... Well, I don't know if easily... I don't know if, like, saying that, like, mind tricks easily work on him is a thing. Maybe just Jade's really good at implementing or manipulating people. But, like,
yeah.
I feel like he's, like, it's not that hard to manipulate Quinn. I mean, in some ways it is.
For being a really smart manipulative dude, he really isn't a smart manipulative dude.
Yeah,
let's put it like
that. He cultivates this weird image of being smart and manipulative, which, like, sometimes works or sometimes is the case, but it's not the case 100%. So, like,
yeah, like, remember when he was trying to manipulate MK in the first season
and
he was just doing, like, textbook manipulation? It was so bad. It was like,
it was really bad. And, like,
come on,
MK was not, like, even slightly for a second, like, you know, convinced. He was just like, whatever. Like, obviously,
and if you can't convince you know, the brains of MK, I mean, who are you gonna really convince?
Well, I mean, like, because obviously all the other cogs or whatever children were, like, eating it up, but, like, he was just, like, not having it, because MK is like, I just want to go to Azra. Well, he doesn't say that directly to Quinn, but, like, his goal is, like, I want to go to Azra. If you can't help me get to Azra, then, like, you're not of any use to me. Bye. So.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
But... So Jade survives. We have the opportunity maybe to see her again. I did find it interesting, though, that I noticed that with the Widow teaming up with Quinn, now all of the bad guys are white and most of the good guys are POC.
I didn't even notice that, but you're right. Oh, good stuff, good stuff, good stuff. Crush the white patriarchy.
But I mean, here's the thing.
Crush the white patriarchy, am I right?
Oh, yeah. No, same. But the way allegiances work in this show, like,
interesting.
Who knows how long this is going to last.
I would love to see Ghost Rider again. I love his weird pop-ups and taunting Quinn. I love that kind of
image. Yeah, I was actually hoping he was going to show up in the scene
like
between
the
Quinn
best,
and Jade.
Like, as you listeners know, me and Melissa mercilessly mock Ryder, but I really do like him more as a ghost than a person, because he's just a lot smarter and a lot more effective and better.
Right,
as a ghost.
Quinn's version of Ryder is better than Ryder.
I mean, that's not surprising at all.
Yeah.
But, basically. You know, it's the truth. Anyway, should we finish... hold on. Do you want to talk about Sunny, or should we talk about MK and Badgie?
Let's do Sunny.
Okay, so Sunny, he has a bunch of, like, interspersed different fantasy sequences. We get that crazy, I mean, it's very horror-esque, like, we get the whole thing where he's like, it's like, let's do, like, cute domestic stuff and just, like, throw in some horror, which
yeah.
I don't think this episode's coming out before Halloween, but, like, right now as we are recording is before Halloween, so it feels very apt that, like, we're doing this episode now.
Yeah, definitely.
So we get this, like, cutesy scene where he's talking with his son, and they're just, like, racing each other to the pig pens. It's super cute, and then, obviously, you know, once you get to the pig pens, something horrible's happened, and there's all the pigs have been slaughtered. They have these crosses on their back. It's very disturbing. Sunny makes some weird BS up about a wolf, which obviously makes no sense.
Right.
I think even his son can figure that out, because, like, I don't think his son is, like, his son is young, but his son isn't that young. I don't think he's that
yeah.
stupid either. So he makes up this whole thing about wolves. It's very disturbing, and, like, you know, we get the, it's very horror. Like, you have, like, the blood dripping from the roof and everything. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I definitely thought, when I saw the pigs, I was like, oh, like, it's on their back, and it's kind of like a cross, so maybe it's referring to the whole tattoos on his back thing. So, like,
mm-hmm.
that's what I thought. I obviously knew it was the girl, because who else is it going to be?
It was going to be Ghost Rider.
right? Nah, he doesn't even know that Ryder's dead.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so, you know, there's a
cross
on his back.
So out of the loop.
Yeah, I have to say, I just want Sunny to be happy, man. Also, I thought he looked so cute with his little farmer white shirt and, like,
I
Y
suspend.
Like, dude, I'm a sucker for, like, those Y, I think they're called Y-shaped suspenders or something.
Same.
I'm a sucker for those, and also, like, it was just so, like, domestic and, like, rural and cute. I'm just like, feel your fantasy, Sunny, feel your fantasy. But, like,
yeah.
It was just, like, it was cute to see him dressed as, like, a normal person, or, like, just, like, literally down to earth, like, versus, you know, like, I think back to the first time we ever saw Sunny, and he's wearing that crazy red leather long coat, and, like, who is this dude? Like, he's some crazy assassin mercenary. Like, but, like, it's nice to see him just, like, I don't know, just, like,
as
I
a
guess
person.
More normal clothing. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was cute. It was domestic.
No.
It was really making me, it was all helping me buy into that whole fantasy of being, like, a domestic, quiet life, you know?
Yeah, I feel like that's really, well, in some ways, it is exactly what he wants.
Right.
But then in the other ways, is that, well, yeah, he can never have it, but I don't know if he could ever be happy with it. At least.
True.
Not the way his life has been.
Right.
Because maybe if he had never known violence, he would be happy with it. But now, I don't know if he can go back to something like that.
Yeah.
But it was really nice to see him happy. It was really nice to see him, even though he was being haunted by a crazy girl from the ring, it was still nice.
Yeah.
Like, those scenes still gave me the warm fuzzies, even though it was horror.
It was all a lie.
Oh, yeah.
So, we find out that this girl who's haunting him, her name is Artemis, and she is one of the many victims who was, I guess, killed by Sunny. Artemis, as you guys might know, she is the, I'm going to read this from Wikipedia, she is the goddess of the hunt, forest and hills, the moon, and archery. Greek goddess, her Roman equivalent is Diana. I was like, interesting choice to use the name Artemis. Let's see, let me just find, I have some more notes on Wiki. Let's see, hunt, wild animals, wilderness, childbirth, virginity, and protector of young girls, bringing and relieving diseases in women. Why would you bring disease? Okay, whatever. Blah, blah, blah. The deer and the cypress were sacred to her. Blah, blah, blah. Aiding childbirth. So I was trying to figure out, like, why that name, but I guess these, the symbolism stuff kind of explains it all. Because, like, yeah. You know, they're in a forest, like, I guess the wild animal thing, is she's very much associated with, like, females and girls and protecting them and whatever, so I guess it works.
I mean, it sort of works.
It sort of works. It doesn't, not really one-to-one or anything, but eh, good enough. Good enough, I guess. I just was
good
trying,
enough
I guess,
is my favorite.
I don't know, I guess, in thinking about the name and trying to be critical, I can't really think of what other names would be best or appropriate, so I guess it works. So, eh.
I'm not going to sit here and try and think of an alternative name. Like, it's fine.
Yeah.
But it doesn't resonate quite the same as if it had been something,
I don't know. Part of me is, like, I wonder if they could have picked a better name.
Yeah.
Because Artemis seems kind of lazy. Like,
yeah,
no,
they're just like, what could sort of be associated with the woods? Yeah, Artemis works.
Yeah.
Anyway, I mean, I get the childbirth connection, but I think it would have made more sense if, like, his kid was a girl.
Well, they wanted to fake us out in the beginning, at least, with the whole Henry thing. And I don't know if it would it have a same, would it actually have had a stronger impact if it was a girl child who was doing the killing? You know what I mean? Like, there's all these reasons for why they picked, they chose to have the child in the fantasy sequence be a boy who is Henry. I mean, again, to us as the viewers, we kind of, at least for me, I kind of longed to see Sunny in a more domestic, at least somewhat happier role. So it was kind of nice to see this weird, like, oh, this is his kid. Like, it was kind of nice.
Yeah.
Even though we knew it was all gonna go horribly wrong. We all knew that. But, like,
oh yeah,
it was nice to see that for, like, a little bit. But, like, part of me wonder, like, and I think it's, like, to do with maybe, you know, Sunny is a man, so, like, logically, he's a little bit more scared of his male child becoming a killer. Because, I mean, although it could be more horrific to see a, like, just, like, from a cultural perspective, more horrific to see a girl child killing her mother. Not to say that it's, like not as bad if a boy child kills his mother, because that's also terrible, but like
you're just digging,
like,
yourself deeper, but okay,
but like, no do you know what I mean? Like, I feel
no
like
I know
the,
I do
like,
know
the
what
gender
you mean.
Implications or the storytelling implications, it's just different.
Yeah,
like it all feels very well, like Oedipus minus the sex part, more like, you know, like doesn't Oedipus kill his mother? Or am I completely wrong about that?
No, Oedipus kills his father.
Oh, he kills his father. Okay, so that's not correct. I feel like there was no like son who commits matricide in Greek or Roman mythology. I feel like there must have been at least one.
I'm sure there was, but I can't.
Anyway,
I'm not sure.
I can't
sure.
think of it. So Oedipus is not correct. So forget that. But
I guess
yeah,
it kind of reminds me of fan fiction where they'll do switches. They'll do like a gender switch and you see how the story changes. And so often those stories are so bad because they change only really superficial things.
Right, right.
But just kind of this discussion reminds me of that because, I mean, yeah, I don't know how we would have reacted differently if it was a girl. I brought that up because Artemis being related to childbirth and really into, like, female sickness seems to fit better.
Or health or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Depending if she likes you, I guess.
Yeah. I'm trying to, I think I have some more notes about the Sunny scenes. Let me check.
Okay.
I mean
we've been kind of...
Sorry?
Well, no, we've been kind of alluding to it, and by alluding to it, I've been directly stating it outright. Why does this girl look like the girl from The Ring?
Because it's supposed to be a stock horror thing. So, I thought this, but I have not voiced it yet. I wonder, Artemis is one of his victims. Is Sunny, like, remembering this girl, like, specifically and correctly? Like, was there a real victim whose name was Artemis who looked like this? Or is she some kind of symbolic stand-in? Like, this person did not look like this, but he just knows that he did kill a young girl at some point, and he doesn't actually know her name, but his mind is just coming up with the name Artemis. Like, I guess it doesn't matter that much, but I'm kind of interested in kind of thinking about how it changes if this is actually a girl who looks like this and was named this versus just kind of some catch-all, I don't know, symbolic.
Yeah, like an amalgamation.
Amalgamation, yes.
And the way that I definitely read it was, it was an amalgamation of the people that he has killed. Though as it got further along in the episode and we got, you know, basically the zombie horde.
Yeah.
It made me start to doubt that a little bit.
Right.
Maybe that there was a girl named Artemis that he killed. But I can't imagine we're ever going to get an answer.
No, yeah. I know we're probably not going to get a clear-cut answer. In my head, I was just thinking, oh, it'd be kind of interesting. Like, is she just represented of like the whole group, or is she like literally a girl named Artemis who looks like this when she died?
I mean, I can't imagine that Sunny remembers the people he killed so well.
Right. Also, Artemis says like you don't even remember their faces.
Yeah, exactly. So how can he make them up?
I think she's more meant to be like a symbolic, overarching kind of whatever.
Yeah.
Demon, but anyway.
Isha Demon.
Just a thought that I thought about. Yes. I'm a great orator, guys.
Well, it is that time. It's not that time of night, but it's close.
That's not an excuse. But I do like how, like, obviously we've seen this throughout season one, season two, this theme about Sunny just, like, kind of being haunted by the fact that he is a killer and he's killed hundreds and hundreds of people. It's obviously, like, this whole dream is, like, that, you know, we start off with, like, this is everything he's ever wanted, and then we get the whole worst fear thing, right? At the end, he's, like, Vale is dead, he's lost Vale, and then his son has become a killer, like him, and, like, he's so, I guess, scared that that his child will become a killer like him, and whatever. Even though it really doesn't make any logical sense that the son would actually kill Vale, because, like, no, Sunny, that doesn't make sense.
But, I mean, it's a horror movie. Nothing
Right, it's
makes
a horror
sense.
Movie. So, yeah, it's just his worst fears come to fruition. Because we also get the whole thing with, like, Vale being like, oh, I have to take Henry away from here, even though, like, yes, I get it, but, like, logically that would not happen. Like, you know what I mean? Like, she wouldn't be, like, in reality, she would not take Henry away from him specifically, right? Like,
right.
She was very specific about that in this dream sequence, which doesn't make any sense. But because we know it's just a manifestation of his fear that he would lose his family, right? So, anyway, I mean, it was nice to get this kind of weird, like, inside kind of look at Sunny's thought process, even though it was more, like, I guess, psychological and Freudian and whatever. I kind of dug it. I don't know. But also, I think about the whole, like, son becoming the father theme, and I think about Quinn and Ryder. And I think, well, like, obviously that didn't happen with Ryder. So, I would hope that the show would kind of do something to kind of, I don't know. Again, I just want Sunny to be happy. That's the only thing I want for this poor
basically.
Man. I just want the show to have some kind of, maybe late in a later episode, have some kind of theme where it's like, no, Sunny, everyone's their own person. Just because, you know, you were a killer doesn't mean that your son or whatever is going to automatically be a killer. I mean, because we also get that thing with Ryder, right? Ryder did not become Quinn.
Right.
So I hope that that theme can kind of extend over to Sunny in a more positive way. Because yeah, I don't want Henry to be Ryder. That's not what I'm saying.
Who does? No. One Ryder is enough.
Too much.
But I mean, a Ryder is a thing of Quinn's own creation, though. In a lot of ways, he exists because Quinn is such a bad father.
Oh, true. Sorry,
it's interesting watching kind of the parental relationship, and also, you know, how that is kind of reflected in MK and Sunny, even though they're not biologically related. But you know,
well, he MK finally outright says it too, because we've been calling him, you know, we have been calling him Sunny's, you know, surrogate son for like since episode one. So like he finally says like, you know, Sunny is the only family I have left. And I was like, aww. It's so true. And, like, Sunny knows it. Like, please. Which I was just like, Sunny, how dare you leave MK out of your little family fantasy, you horrible person. Just kidding. But, yeah, no, I guess, it's really nice to see them back together again. And I really want them to get out of the Badlands and go to Azura, because, like...
And live happily ever after.
Let's speed it up. I mean, that's why I do like Badgy, insofar as he really does lighten up the mood. I mean, he straight up says it. He's like, I just thought I would joke to just, you know, bring some levity. Like, I need more levity in this show, because it's too depressing. Too depressing. And I wonder when Badgy was... Doesn't Badgy say something about, like, oh, like how depressing it is for a 12-year-old girl to just, like, kick your butt? I was just thinking, wait, like, because it kind of, the camera kind of lingers on MK for a smidge, and I was like, is this supposed to make us think about Tilda? Or, like, I don't know if that's what they're going for, or if I'm just reading too much into, into my own ideas into what this is all about.
Yeah.
Anyway, and also we do kind of get, a situation where, you know, the person haunting Sunny is a girl, a young girl. So, I don't know, that potential is a tie-in. I don't think that was supposed to be as strong of a connection or implication. But anyway, just kind of thinking about all the other younger girl characters you've seen in the show, or at least in this episode.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Let's see. What else? We got... I don't know... Sometimes I cannot decipher my notes, and I know I just wrote this down, like, not even an hour ago. I wrote down ghost bath, but I don't know what that means.
What? Ghost
bath? What?
Yeah, I don't know what that means, Maggie.
I don't know. I'm gonna move on. Anyway, so to get back to Sunny real quick, we have that scene where he's kind of fighting trying to fend off all the people he has killed, but he's not doing a very good job of it, even though we've totally seen Sunny take on like 400 people at one time. But this is a horror movie,
right? Fantasy. And they all just jump on top of him like Pink Pile and Sunny.
They all just swarm him, and they're slashing at his back. He's getting all the tattoos all over again, which is kind of a nice touch. And at the end of that sequence, we kind of The Sunny, MK, Badgy, plotlines remerge? I don't know. You know what I mean? They, like we get out of the fantasy sequence.
Yeah,
get
back to
all three of them together in one plot line, whatever. So, I'd like to move back to MK and Badgy, if you're cool with that.
Yeah, no, I think that's perfect.
Okay, so MK and Badgy.
They go on a little bonding adventure.
Road trip. So,
road trip.
I love the show's props. Like, they're so over the top steampunk, but I love it all the same.
I know. Like, that gas... Talking about the car.
What? Not even the car. The gas mask prop.
Oh, yeah, the gas mask.
It was so over the top, but I loved it anyway. I always like how... I really like the Azura theme music. You know, every time they mention Azura, you get the little, like, tinkling chimes or whatever it is. Like, I love the Azura theme music. I don't think they've released a soundtrack for this show, but, like, I would love to get that music. And so they have to kind of, you know, MK really loves sneaking back into dangerous places. That's like his thing, right?
It really is.
So MK's like, let's go back to, you know, the monastery. Let's just, like, go back there. And where Badgie is just like, I'm never going back there. But obviously he's going to go back there because plot. So
yeah, I mean, like, he's persuaded without too much difficulty.
Right, when he was just, we saw earlier, was it last episode or episode before that? He was, like, freaking out just talking about how, like, he could not go back there. But, like, I guess I'll go back in there, sure, why not, whatever. So they go back in there, they sneak into, they sneak pretty easily past the dining area. They sneak into the mirror chamber, whatever.
It does seem a little weird, though, that they just, like, walk past the dining area.
All I know is, in, you know, their security does not actually exist in the world of the Badlands. No one knows what security, what good security means. Like, they all just kind of are just like, eh, whatever. So, there's no security. They sneak in pretty easily.
I mean, I guess if I had powers like that, too, I wouldn't be too worried about people sneaking in.
True. So, sneak in. They get the scrolls that they need and the satchel. Badgie kind of pockets the compass without telling MK. Then they try to leave, but obviously they get caught on their way out because, duh, it was never going to be that easy. You know, they have a weird little talk with the master. Everyone gets all like, oh, blah, blah, blah. Let's talk about everyone's character flaws. And, you know, they'll have a great fight scene, but I guess, like, because Badgie is smart, he's like, you just get them to fight each other when they're in that weird demon state, and we'll be fine. They do
yeah.
it. Works without a hitch, you know.
Badgie is smart.
He is smart.
He's practical.
Yeah, he's like, you know what, this is not gonna be hard. Just once you slash them, they'll just start fighting each other.
And it was kind of foreshadowed. I mean, it's happened a few times before, but in the story about Flea, it's the exact same thing, where it's like people can't control who they attack when they're in that state. Or at least
I like that, though. I mean, because, like, usually that's played as, like, we've always seen it from MK's perspective. Like,
yeah,
oh, it's
no,
like, he's not control, and he just hates. But, like, I like that Badgie's kind of using that against these people. Because
yes.
they are more skilled and really could, you know, really kill Badgie and MK very quickly. If not for this, quote-unquote, fatal flaw that was also, like, it's their power, but also it's can be manipulated. So
yeah,
I
exactly.
like it. Yeah, so, and then they all end up fighting the master, which is, like, ridiculous, but, oh well.
Yep.
So they sneak back to, I guess, perform some kind of weird acupuncture on Sunny. Oh, sorry, hold on, before we get back to Sunny, again, I know this is just, like, a Chinese martial arts film style thing, or trope, or whatever,
mm-hmm.
but I love the kick float. I love it when they, because Badgie does it. He kicks like a table or something. It floats up to his hand and then he just like slams it against someone. I love the kick float. Like, it's a completely physics defying, would never happen in real life. But I love that stuff in like any of those kung fu films. Like, I love the kick float. It's just I love it. Let's see. Still don't know what ghost bath means. Okay.
ghost bath.
Ghost bath. So then
the bath of the ghost.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, so we get the whole thing with so they're trying to save Sunny because his time has almost run out. And for some reason Badgie is stabbing Sunny very forcefully with those needles. And I personally have done acupuncture many times. That's not what they do, guys. Just to reassure
yeah.
you, when you get acupuncture, no one holds a gigantic needle, like, 5 feet above you and just stabs it down with the force of, like, a demon, like, a vampire slayer. Like, they are pretty careful about where they put the needle. They don't, like, stab you from 5 feet away. So,
they did it for the drama.
Up, guys. I know it was for drama, but I was like, Badgie, what are you doing? You trying to kill him all over again? Like, Anyway, acupuncture is pretty dope, and it doesn't look like that at all, so just wanted to clear that up real quick.
Okay. Do you think, well, this is kind of off topic, but
well, that's supposed to be, you're supposed to be acupuncture. That's, or like, you know, some mystical version of acupuncture.
Yeah, no. Off of acupuncture.
Okay, off of acupuncture.
Do you think we're going to get an answer as to why some people lose their crazy powers? Or is it just like, oh, that's a thing that happens?
Did we, hold up, remind me, did we ever find out what caused MK to lose his powers? I don't remember anything happening. I don't remember that, was he wasn't captured and put in a machine like the other guy, right?
No.
When did he lose his powers?
Basically, last episode, he was, like, ready to go ghost, and then didn't.
Huh. Yeah, because I was gonna say, it would make sense for it to be like, oh, if they do some weird magic acupuncture thing on a person, then they lose their power, because that's what happened to the friend, or MK's friend, or whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't remember how MK lost his powers, because we...
It just happened.
It did just happen? Well, did it happen after he found out that he killed his mother?
Maybe, but no, I can't.
That's what happens when you don't like watch it for like months at a time.
I'm trying to remember if he had a time post his trauma,
or was it his dark side self like kicked it out of him? Like, I don't remember how he lost it.
I don't know.
Anyway, that awkward moment when you don't know if it's like rewatch the previous episode.
Yeah, exactly. You don't know if it's, like, in story or you've forgotten or it's, they haven't answered it yet.
But I don't remember him being captured and, like...
No, he wasn't. He definitely wasn't.
You know, needled or anything.
No,
so.
It definitely wasn't the needle thing.
Yeah. Anyway, maybe it's to do with the trauma of knowing that he lost his mother. Maybe it's to do with that weird internal dark force, like... Because he was... Wasn't he kind of fighting himself, like, physically kind of fighting his other dark self? So, like... I don't know if that's why, that's how he lost his power. I'm not sure. Because it can't be taken away from people. That's what the whole needle thing is about. The needle thing can take it away.
People can take it away from themselves, too, apparently.
But that's so... I feel like if MK could have done that, wouldn't... Is it like he learned to take it away from himself? And that, like, because like, I'm saying, just thinking back to season one, like, he did not want to have this power. But if he... But he didn't know how to get rid of it. In season one, so he couldn't. And, like, isn't it better? Doesn't he... Like, he wanted to be free of the power, right? So isn't that helpful? I mean, not helpful to him as a fighter, but, like, that's good that he lost it? I don't know.
I'm not sure.
It's confusing. Oh, Badlands. Keep on being confusing.
I mean, we wouldn't expect anything else, honestly.
That's true. A logical TV show? What? This is not the Badlands I know and love.
I know. I mean, in its defense, it is still so much better than it was in the first season.
Oh, absolutely. I'm glad that it got a second season.
Yeah. It deserved the second season, and it'll deserve the third season, and hopefully the third season will be even better than the second season, et cetera, et cetera.
No, it's definitely been renewed for a third season.
Yeah.
I think that's supposed to come out in 2018 or something.
That sounds right.
Yeah. Do we have an actual date for it, though? Let me see. I'm trying to go on Internet Movie Database. But I don't have any other notes about this episode, so do you want to, like, close this out and just give some final thoughts or anything that I didn't mention?
Just a kind of... My final thoughts are... Yeah, this episode happened. It had its moments. I liked seeing Sunny happy. But beyond that, it didn't really do anything for me. It wasn't very exciting. There weren't a lot of fight sequences. And it just felt like the stakes weren't that high. Like, the past few episodes have been really good.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so much has been happening, and all of the character interactions are crazy, and the alliances, and this feels like it should have... Yeah, but it should have been the culmination, because this is finally when the Widow and Quinn are, like, teaming up and, like, ready to destroy crap.
Mm.
And it isn't played that way at all. It's played very much kind of like... minimalist.
Yeah, right. You think the whole guy? Sorry, I read something from an upcoming episode. Sorry, you think that the whole Widow and Quinn alliance would be like, oh snap! But it's not as big of a deal as you think it would be.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it'll be played for a bigger deal later, but...
Well, because we got so much sunny fantasy stuff going on this episode that was kind of... That maybe overshadowed what was going on with the Widow and Quinn. But also, we've also seen Quinn and the Widow team up before, so I feel like it's not that unexpected. But
I mean, at the end of last episode, where, like, Quinn was standing at the top of the staircase... That was a pretty epic moment where it's like, oh my gosh, even though we all knew it was coming.
Came back.
And so maybe that was considered our, like, introduction to him and the Widow teaming up, and we didn't need anything else. But I don't know.
So just one quick note. So season 3, episode 1, the only information I see so far is there are two people in the credited cast. One of them is Louis Tan, who is playing Gaius Chow, which is a very interesting name. And Louis Tan is in... He plays a character in Iron Fist. He also was in Rush Hour 2016. Wait, excuse me? What? Rush Hour 2016? Wait, there's a TV show based on Rush Hour that came out...
I don't know, man.
...last year? Oh, I totally missed that. it doesn't look that great. But anyway, Louis Tan, he looks super ripped. And so that makes sense that he would be in... No, it makes sense that he would be in Badlands. It looks like he is half Asian, half white. More Asians from Astro, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Then you need a little pin.
Sorry?
Asians for Azra.
The Asians are from Azra. But yeah, I feel like he was on a podcast interview that I listened to a couple months ago. So I'm a little bit excited. I'm more excited to see more POC. He was born in Manchester, England. And what else? His father originally came to Hollywood for the movie Batman. So I think his... Yeah. So he's a son of an action director and stuntman, Philip Tan. Older brother of the Hunger Games 2012 actor, Sam Tan. This is some very interesting factoids on Internet Movie Database. Is one of the main faces of Nivea in Asia. Competed as an amateur Muay Thai boxer for many years. Mother is a fashion model from England. So he is pretty and he can fight. This is like all interesting. Yeah, half British, half Asian. Performed his own stunts for Marvel's Iron Fist, own fight sequences in Hawaii 5-0, near-death experience while snowboarding behind a moving train in Chicago for an ad campaign.
What is this guy?
For an ad campaign. It wasn't even for a movie. Is the oldest of four brothers. Yeah, dude. I mean, look, I gotta send you a picture of this guy, Melissa. Maybe I'll link to it in the notes, too. I remember on the podcast I was listening to, I believe it was, the podcast was named They Call Us Bruce, and I think the hosts were kind of just complaining about, like, they should have made Iron Fist Louis Tan instead of, like, the guy who currently plays him, because, like, Louis is actually half Asian.
Yeah.
And the guy playing him I don't think is at all Asian. Anyway, that was the whole thing on that podcast. But I'll link to it in the notes, I guess. Sorry, just went off a huge tangent about this guy. He will be in a future episode.
Understandable.
I don't know. It's just, there's not too much information out about season 3. Anyway, sorry.
We should probably finish season 2 first.
Let's finish season. For all I know, he might even be in season 2, and we haven't gotten to him yet. Anyway, so next week we'll cover some more Badlands because we've been out of the Badlands for so long, and still, even in this episode, we've just been in some weird fantasy version of the Badlands. So
basically,
let's get back to real Badlands. And I mean, I really want Vale, Henry, and Sunny to be reunited. I mean, can you just imagine how Sunny's gonna look when he sees his small, infant, adorable child. Oh my god, he's gonna lose it. He's gonna lose it.
He is gonna lose it. And if I know the Badlands, it's gonna happen in, like, this middle of, like, a chase sequence, and he won't even have time to process it. And oh. We'll just get, like, a split second to look and be like, and then child. He'll be running again.
I want to see Sunny cry when he sees his child for the first time. I need it in my life. Yeah. I need it in my life. Anyway, I also need Quinn to be dead, but Quinn's never going to die because he's
Quinn immortal, is never so. Going to die.
Quinn, the day Quinn dies is the day the show dies. So, freaking Quinn. I just accepted that Quinn is just a part of, it's an integral part of the show that he just is never going to leave.
Yep.
And I just have to live with it. Ugh, Quinn. Ugh. The worst. Anyway.
The worst.
Anyway, so yes, next week we'll cover Badlands, season 2, episode 8. What is the name of that episode? I don't know. Do you know, Melissa?
No. That would be way too prepared of me.
Let's see. The next episode is titled. I just clicked the link, so hopefully it loads quickly. Oh no, it's loading slowly. I jinxed it. Oh, okay. The next chapter, because it's a chapter, not an episode. It's a chapter. Mm-hmm. Is Sting of the Scorpion's Tail, and the picture on Internet Movie Database is that woman with the white coat in that whatever episode. You know how, like, there was the
conclave
thing.
I know what you mean.
There was that woman. Wait, hold up. Her name was Chow, right? Oh, snap. So Louis Tan's playing, like, her son or someone related to her?
You're getting into season 3 business that I do not care to speculate into.
Whatever. So anyway, it looks like Chow, the woman, not Louis Tan, is going to be a big part of next episode. So that's exciting.
That is exciting, actually.
Woman fighting other woman, but, like, not Jade pathetically defending herself, like actual fighting, so that's exciting.
Yeah.
It's nice to get more Barons, because, like, I'm just tired of, like, seeing Quinn all the time. And, like, yeah. We've got a lot of Widows, so, like, I need more Baron-to-Baron interaction that's not, like, Quinn and Widow and, like, Jade and Ryder or whatever. Also, what happened with Lydia? Is she just gone now?
I was thinking that. I feel like she's still on Quinn's side, but I don't know where she is.
Well, wasn't she like, I'm gonna kill Quinn?
Well, yeah, but then they had their moment of truth, and then
I can't with Lydia reconnected. Sometimes I think, like, did Ryder get all his, like, I guess, quote, weakness from Lydia? Because, like, she just kind of just gave, she's like, I'm gonna kill you. Actually, nah. Like, what? Lydia. Anyway, sorry. Maybe I'm misremembering what happened, but didn't she just kind of was like, did she kind of give up when Quinn yep. showed up? So, like, no. Girl, no. Whatever. I really would still like to see, I don't know if it's possible for Jade and Lydia to team up and get Quinn. I don't know if that's just, like, that they tried to do it and it's over now.
It feels like it's over now, but who knows?
Who knows? Who
anyway.
Knows? Anyway. So, I'm gonna stop rambling. We'll talk to you about Badlands next week, and... yeah, talk to you then. Bye.
Bye-bye.